One of the things that we love doing here is having different voices teach. For instance, I mean, this year we've had Kimmy Grace do some teaching. We've had Larry do some teaching. I've done some. Evan's done some. Kirsten's done some. We love the different voices coming forward. And so I've been excited to hear Joe for a while now. So the only time I've gotten to hear him teach or say anything is at your cousin's funeral. So oh, yes. That was not as fun. This will be great.
Yes.
So we just bless this man in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word that is resident in him, that dwells in him. And I just pray, God, for the fire that is just right now around your throne. Come into Joe right now and bless us and just set us all on fire in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So give me a couple seconds here. There's some things I want to set up for you. Going to be a little bit of a dead giveaway once you start seeing what I have for you today, right? But it's super important, right? Because we are all chosen men and chosen women of God, right? And today, what we're really going to discuss and talk about is what I believe has been, you know, a major reason why. You know, I believe I kind of have made it here to Living Word, right? One of the things that drew me here was Pastor Rich and really his vision. Oh my God, put that. Let's see if I can do that like that. And really his vision for us as Christians, right? And I'll actually get into that here in a little bit. Things I like to do is just kind of give you a little bit of background. Can you guys hear me back there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything good? Okay. I may not need this. Gotcha. All right. No problem. We can definitely do that too. So, one of the things that I like to do and is good is just to give everybody an idea of, you know, Joe Romero and who I am and where I come from, you know, and my experience and my walk with the Lord, right? So my walk goes back to basically the time I was born. I was fortunate enough to be raised by a family who, you know, believed in God and who sought God. I actually went to Catholic schools, you know, for my whole life, so first grade through 12th grade. So the good news about that is theology, right? You study the Bible. So that's like 12 years of getting into the Bible and knowing the Bible and learning about God. And so I definitely loved that experience because it forced you to get into the Word, right? Whether you wanted to or not as a young kid, you know, it was one of those things that you had to do. So that was, you know, year-long classes of just studying the Word. And so I'm definitely grateful for that. But as a teenager, I had an uncle that had, you know, what I believe had gone to a different level of Christianity. You know, he became a born-again Christian, and he took me to a different church where there was praise and worship, you know, like this, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, where you can feel, you know, the Holy Spirit, like, entering the place, right? And so that was one of those things that, you know, changed my life as a young man. Now, of course, none of us are perfect, right? That's why Jesus had to come. But, you know, that's kind of the world that I grew in and I grew up in. Later on in life, actually met my wife, right, and started a family, and again, had always been still with the Lord, but I wasn't as close to the Lord. And so in about the year 2000, we were having some medical issues with my wife and my family, and guess what happened? We got prayed over, she got prayed over, and a miracle happened, right? And so that sickness, you know, we were talking about somebody earlier who was experiencing dizziness and, you know, was, you know, doctors can't figure it out, go figure. But anyway, that's kind of what was happening with us, and God healed my wife. And so we just felt like, hey, we have to go back to God and dive in deeper, go to the church, which at that time was Victory Church, which is by Pastor Mike Ware, if you guys are familiar with them. But basically, we went to that church to talk to my aunt and her friend, the other prayer warrior, who had prayed over my wife, and how we received like immediate healing. From the time we left the building to the car and was driving away, she was healed and has been healed ever since. Amen. Yes. So as we're there, lady behind us starts speaking in tongues. I was familiar with that sort of a thing. My wife wasn't so much. And so, you know, just kind of explained to her what that was. And then the gal and her husband said, hey, I have a word for you after this service, right? So at the end of the day, she comes. She basically has this entire word from God, deep, darkest thoughts. You know, we had just had this huge conversation the night before. She pretty much revealed everything we had talked about. And this is some random person we've never met in our lives, right? So only through God is that possible. And then she proceeded to pull us apart individually and give us more word from God. And so that was it, right? God had grabbed us. He had reeled us in. He had thrown out his fishing net, and he totally caught us there. So then, you know, long story short, we're baptized in water. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, we start getting involved in ministries. I'm part of a Chosen Men of God. She's part of Chosen Women of God. We've been doing those ministries forever. They were originally built around weekend events, you know, for men and for women, where if you've never had an opportunity to truly experience God in your life and his love and miracles and the passion, you know, it was an amazing experience. I think we're on like our 18th year now of doing that. And so, yeah, it's been just full-blown go with God, you know, all the way. So I thank him for that, you know, because he's definitely brought me to a new place in life. And as all of us, you know, we're all called to do something. You know, so one of the things that I would, you know, kind of pose to you guys is that, you know, find what that calling is, right? And that's really what I'm going to be talking about today is kind of what led me here. When I first came here, I had an opportunity to meet, you know, Pastor Rich, who some of you may or may not know him, amazing guy. But he's, again, one of those individuals that I believe was trying to take us to that next level of our faith, right? So one of the things that we do here is our Jeremiah, you know, 33:3, where, you know, we get some of our awesome prayer warriors here. We get you in a room. They pray, and they get visions from God. They get words from God. And I was one of the lucky ones, you know, well, of course, I volunteered because I want as much of God as I can get. But it was an amazing experience when I came here to see a church that was moving like that, right? To see a church that was trying to, you know, truly take advantage of the power of God and to, you know, dive deeper, like what, you know, Pastor John was talking about up here. One of those amazing experiences is our keyboard player. I don't know if she remembers or not, but she actually said, hey, I have a song for you from God. This kind of blew me away, right? Because this was like, wait a minute, you know, I know there's praise and worship and all of a sudden, and it just opened my mind to, you know, just instruments, right? Even if the rocks can cry out, think what else, right, can happen. And so she proceeded to play this amazing song that just completely filled me with the Holy Spirit. I actually got it on CD. I still listen to it, you know, because it's one of those things that reminds me of those little interactions that you have with God that have brought you to where you are today. Right? Went to the Jeremiah 33. These people just, again, God just giving them the word, tell them everything that's going on in my life that completely related to what was happening. So that's when I said, this is the kind of place that I need to be involved with, right? This is where I feel God has led me is to, you know, kind of start going down that path. You know, we all start off as babies, right, in our Christian walk. Some people don't even get to be a baby, right? And that's when it's up to us. We got to introduce them to God, and that's why we're here today. But, you know, some start off as babies, and I hate to say it, but they stay as babies. Others go all the way and become, you know, a doctorate and an instructor and a professor, like in school, you know, folks like Pastor Rich, right? Now, for those of you that don't know Pastor Rich, the reason why he's not here is because he was called back to what I say is the motherland, right? He was called back to Israel to go speak to God's people. And to bring them into the fold and to make sure that they're saved. So I'm like, man, that's, you know, that's my kind of guy, right? Well, when I had an opportunity to talk with him after, you know, a couple of the services, you know, I just was sharing with him, hey, thank you for being such an amazing servant, for somebody that can guide us, right? And then, of course, I'm hearing that he's leaving. I'm like, wait, where are you going? You know? But, you know, he left some amazing people here, you know, in charge, right? We have Evan, we have John, and they always have great words. And we have amazing folks that are deep in their walk with God here. So we always get amazing words every time, you know, that we come to our service. But as far as, you know, just for me, kind of guiding principles that I discuss with Pastor Rich is, you know, really, you know, just kind of my way that I work and interact with God and how I feel he's kind of directed me. And so I felt that it was really an important message. And more importantly, I felt it was the message that God has given me. What we're going to talk about today is kind of a culmination of multiple years of experiences with God and revelation and things like that. But, you know, one of the things I talked with Pastor Rich about is, you know, kind of my guiding principles. And for me, it's, you know, hey, seek God first. Right? That's the very thing I want to do. Seek him first, then I'm going to seek his word, right? And then if I need to, I'm going to seek an elder, like a Pastor Rich or somebody like that, right? But the way that it should work, and really that's kind of what this is all about, and what I believe, you know, Pastor Rich was trying to accomplish, is truly preparing God's people and equipping God's people to go to that next level, you know, to truly take advantage of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, to be able to take advantage of being able to prophesy, to have visions, to understand things, to heal the sick, basically all the things that Jesus did, right? We're going to talk about that because I've been led, you know, over the last few years to basically let you know that Jesus was the prototype human being that God sent on this earth for us to follow. Right? And a lot of us know that, but as you dive into the word and you dive into what, you know, what happened, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. How many of you guys out there have read, you know, some scripture and it meant one thing, and then you read it again another time with something going on in your life, and all of a sudden it has a whole new meaning, right? And that's what I'm talking about. That's the deeper levels of God that we have that are available to us. And I think Pastor Rich's vision was to tap into that, right? Get us to go to that next level. Get us to be where we're all, you know, walking Jesus's. And there's a song out there that says, "Let them see you and me." I love that song because that's how it's supposed to be. You know, we should be able to walk into a room and people are like, "I don't know that person, but what is going on," right? Because they see Jesus, because that's how Jesus did it, right? When Jesus walked around, you know, the crowds just came. And so that's kind of what this, you know, talk and this teaching is today, and this meditation is, again, just preparing and equipping God's people. So it's all about, okay, let's talk about that, but then let's also understand what does that look like and how does that work, right? So yeah, you have something going on in your life, seek God first, right? Talk to him, seek him, ask him about it. Ask him to guide you to his word that's going to help give you the understanding that he needs you to have for your particular situation. One of the things that I know all of us can understand is how many different versions of God's word are there, right? New Living Translation, New King James, you know, there's so many different words, right? And, you know, over time it's been, you know, different interpretations, right? And unfortunately, there's been those evil beings, those evil powers, those principalities that we read about, and, you know, we'll talk about that in scripture, we'll get into that today as well, that have basically used that to try to twist God's words and to take them down the wrong path. And so as I was talking to Pastor Rich, he said, you know, I'm actually older than I probably look. I'd probably surprise you guys. But, you know, for Pastor Rich, he said, man, for a young man, he goes, I really love, you know, where you're at, you know, spiritually. And I said, yeah, because when I seek God first, then I seek his word, guess what happens? God's word doesn't go out void. So no matter what all these people try to do, it doesn't matter because God's word is still with us today. And guess what? He's going to guide you to the correct interpretation. He's going to guide you to what he meant by that. And it won't matter what, you know, false prophets or false teachers have tried to do that have tried to lead you down the wrong path. And so if, you know, if you're getting there and you're like, okay, I think I know what he's telling me. I think, you know, I've sought him. I've sought his word. Now I'm going to go talk to an elder. What that elder should do is say, well, did you seek God first? Right? Did you seek his word? Okay, so then what did he tell you? Okay, now let me seek God first. Let me seek his word. Let me see what he tells me. And then what should happen? Confirmation, right? That's what should happen. So that's really what I feel kind of led today to really go over is, you know, kind of how You know, how we start off our day, you know, how do we clean the vessel, you know, how do we put on the armor, and, you know, how do we live as powerful Christians so that we can have, you know, a better Christian life and just more powerful prayer when we're praying for folks. How many of you have seen somebody get prayed over and they're miraculously healed? Boom. Yeah, I'm one of those people. I got hit in the eye with a softball. I was supposed to be blind in one eye. I had a conversation with a surgeon. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to reconstruct your eye. Your socket's all messed up, all these bad things. You know, you may not see ever again, right? Guess what happened? I got prayed over. I got prayed over by a bunch of godly people, and guess what happened? I go to the doctor. Joe, this is really weird. I don't know what's going on, but everything seems to kind of be falling into place. You know, let's not schedule that surgery. Let's come back in a week. Over the next few weeks, I came back. Wow, one in a million thing. You're going to escape the knife. Don't have to do any surgery. All your sight came back. Who did that? God. Amen? Right? I don't know. Many of you may know my mother, Cynthia, who's been coming here, and my aunt, Doris. So that's kind of my family tie to this place. But, you know, last couple years, devil tried to take me out with cancer, right? And where did he try to get me? Ooh, in the throat. Why? Trying to silence the voice. Not going to happen. God's not going to allow that to happen. I was, I think they said between number 10 and 20, as far as this new cancer that they figured out how to test for. And the only reason why they knew about that is I got sick in September, had my first surgery. That August, right before that, some weird thing happened. Some doctor found this and wrote an article in the medical journal, right? My doctor said, oh, this doesn't seem like what they're telling me. I don't think it's benign, even though we've tested it and they said it's benign. Send it off to the Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic comes back. Boom. Yeah, this is this new kind of cancer. We just figured out how to test for it. Yes, you got it. So, of course, I had to go through all the another surgery, taking more stuff out, chemo, radiation. That was the most horrible time of my life. I don't know if you've ever had friends or family members go through that. But guess what? God was with me, you know? And throughout the whole time, people were like, man, I don't know how you do it. Man, how are you doing this? How are you going through that? How come it's not affecting you like it does everybody else? Guess what? I got God in my life. Amen. So that's a little bit about me, who I am. I was blind, now I can see. I was dead, now I'm alive, right? Spiritually, physically. So, you know, how can you not give God, you know, the glory? How could you not do what he asks of you, right? I owe, it's off to teach I go, right? So that's kind of how it goes. So, you know, that's kind of the story of me and why we're here today. So let's go ahead and just jump right into this. Again, you know, what I want you to do is, you know, listen to a lot of things that I say as my own, you know, personal testimony, my personal interactions with God. A lot of the, like, process that I follow when I pray, you know, has come from direct interaction with God. As we know, God is not a God of chaos, right? God is a God of order. When he created the world, it was in a certain order. I mean, when he was originally dealing with, you know, the Israelites, think about that. The Holy of Holies had to look just like this, you know what I mean? This high and this many bricks and these colors. You know, it was very on point as far as how he put things together. And so God's just been trying to, I guess, you know, talk to me about, hey, you need to teach other Christians that, you know, there's kind of a process, right? Now, he's our father. You know, some of you have children probably, and your kids can come to you full of dirt and jelly and, you know, whatever else. But we have to remember that God is still God. He's still the king. And when we approach the throne room, you know, you're still approaching the king, right? So he wanted to make sure that we understand there's things that we want to do in our lives, again, so that we can be more powerful with our prayer, closer to him, getting more revelation, getting those visions, getting all those things that, you know, Pastor Rich's vision was for us and for our church. More importantly, God's vision is for us and his church. So the first thing I do is we talk about preparing the vessel, okay? Who's the vessel? We're the vessel, right? We're the vessel. So, you know, when God started teaching me this, he actually gave me a vision. And in that vision, there was the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And they were presenting vases to God on the throne room. I'm a Joseph for real. So, you know, I'm a stepdad, right? And I also have that cloak, right? I get those visions. I get those dreams. And I interpret those dreams as well. And so one of the things that, you know, God showed me was, you know, over in the corner, there's a bunch of broken pieces. And those were vases that could not be repaired, right? Those were those people that maybe had heard of God, maybe not, but, you know, they were broken. And unfortunately, they were gone. And this is why, you know, we have to have our ministry, because we got to save as many people as possible. Then there was other vases. The Holy Spirit was grabbing them. He was doing something to them. He was then handing them to Jesus. Jesus was doing something to them. And then he'd walk it up to God and present it to God, right? Now, some of those vases were, you know, kind of cracked and like taped together and glued together, kind of leaking a little bit, you know what I mean? But God was still, when you saw it in his eyes, so happy to receive that vase. But you could still tell he was kind of brokenhearted, like, oh, my poor vase, right? Because who's the potter, right? God's the potter, right? And then there was other vases, big, beautiful, giant vases. You know, Jesus could almost hardly carry and was bringing those to God. And of course, when God saw those, oh, you know, his eyes lit up, the joy in his heart came out, fire, you know, the angels sing, those sorts of things. Actually, I was trying to remember who it was. We actually had a lady that was doing a teaching here and talking about her ministry in prison and things like that. And at the end of the service, I was like, man, I got a vision of her and her vase. It was a big, huge white vase, like with pearl white, with beautiful, like royal blue diamonds on it and silver, like latest designs. And it was gorgeous, right? Now, I know some of you are good at like interpreting dreams and the colors and what all these things mean. So, you know, please, if you get some stuff, we're going to have to talk later. But it was a perfect example of how that person was used to pour out. And that's what the message was, is we are vases that are supposed to stay repaired so that we can be filled with whatever God has so that we can then pour out to whoever he puts us in front of, okay? So that's why that's so important. That was basically a picture of the heavenly spiritual you, okay? And as such, I was like, well, what was Jesus and the Holy Spirit doing over here, right? And he's like, well, Jesus was the one that was working with the vase to help get it all put together, to get it fixed and back to a position where it can be filled, right? And the Holy Spirit was sealing that vase, right? Well, one of the things that I'll always tell you is whenever you hear anybody speak, seek God, seek his word, and make sure you get confirmation, right? So, of course, that's what I'm going to do. I'm a real analytical guy, right? I just went through this workshop at my job, and they do this whole, like, personality test, and you have, like, this director-level person that's like, just give me the bullet points, and then you have the person that has all the data and has to do all the analysis, and that's definitely me. So, of course, you know, God, show me the data. So he's like, all right, let's go to the Word. So what does he do? He guides me to Ephesians chapter 4. And verses 25 through 30. So I'm going to go ahead and jump over there right now. And this is titled, Do Not Grieve the Spirit. So therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Don't be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give he who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Boom, there it is, sealed for the day of redemption. So there's the sealing that we were talking about. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So boom, you know, there it is, exactly what he was talking about. And then it exactly described what was going on with the vases. So God was helping these people deal with their, or Jesus was helping, you know, people deal with the sin and the things that were, you know, keeping their vase from being able to work. Holy Spirit is in there sealing it, because that's what God's telling us to do. And then obviously, you know, when we die, we're going to be presented by the Savior to our Father in heaven, right? And what do we all want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in, right? That's all I'm hoping for. So that was an amazing thing, and it's important, because if you don't have that, you know, that outpouring from God into you to outpour into other people, how are you going to disciple, right? How are you going to go and do mission work? How are you going to go and be a servant? You know, my wife and I are part of a ministry where every third weekend, every third Saturday, you know, we go feed the homeless. You know, we get them clothes. You know, maybe we'll go to the Ronald McDonald House, bring them food, bring stuff for the kids, you know, for Easter. You know, we've gone to homeless shelters before, you know, brought them food. And more importantly, we're bringing them the word of God, right? And we're showing them Jesus through who we are. How are you going to do that, you know, if you don't have God's direction and they can't see the Jesus in you? So that's a big part of what that is. You know, folks like Evan, he's on fire for God. He gave a great testimony last weekend. If you missed that, I'm sorry. But what I want to do now is, now that you've kind of understood that and what the vessel is and what that means, let's talk about how you prepare yourself, right? So how do you prepare the vessel? And so this is what I ask God, you know, help me to understand, how do I prepare myself for you, prepare myself for the king? So what he said, you know, first thing you do when you get up, first thing you do, what do? Give praise to the Almighty Father in heaven, right? Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for life for my family, right? Thank you for all the food, the clothing, and all the extras that I have, the abundance, right? We have abundance here in America, right? You might think you're poor, but if you've ever done a mission trip to a third world nation, have you heard the new saying, oh, first world problem? I don't know if you guys have heard that saying. That's the new saying these days, right? We have first world problems, right? We at least have roof over our head, running water. I mean, think of the poor people in Puerto Rico that got hit by, you know, those hurricanes. You know, no power, no water, nothing like that. Crazy thing about that is my wife went and did a mission trip to Puerto Rico, you know, right before all that happened. And while she was there, she had two major visions. One, she had this whole like lighthouse thing going on, and she connected with another amazing Christian woman down there, and we found out, well, that's because you guys are lighthouses in a dark place, right? But he actually gave her two visions of giant waves hitting Puerto Rico. What we found out later was, wow, that was his warning. You know, if we were closer to God, we'd have been able to know that that warning was to tell those people that these monster things were coming and to prepare, right? But that's the whole thing of what we're talking about today. We need to get that close to God that when we have those visions, that we have the interpretation so that we can carry it all the way through. Because at that point, she could have said, I had these visions. There's huge hurricanes coming, but we didn't know what it meant. We were still trying to figure it out. But the point is, God was communicating with us. God was trying to tell us, hey, something's coming, right? And sure enough, what happened? They got hit with two huge, you know, hurricanes and floods. So, you know, there's God, you know, in real life interacting. And this is why, you know, what we're here to talk about today. Next thing I want to talk about are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Let's see. So, spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, let's make sure we're not ignorant about these things. Okay, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are differences or diversities of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through that same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits or being able to see demons, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This is where the real power is, right? I'm a big person of, you know, I'm about Jesus. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus and the whole saying, you know, what would Jesus do? How many of you have heard the, you know, what would Jesus do thing, right? Exactly. So we're going to get into that as well. But at the end of the day, the disciples, who were the closest ones to Jesus in all of human history, They knew him. They loved him. They knew the word, but they didn't have power until the Holy Spirit came, right? He said, I'm going to send a helper, and that helper is going to come in, and he's going to change everything. And what happened after that? They were raising the dead. They were healing the sick. They were doing all the stuff Jesus did. Light goes on. Ding. Guess what we can do, right? And so that's what it's about, the power and the equipping. So let's go ahead and let's continue with that. I'd like to take you now into kind of the next piece of that. I do want to kind of talk a little bit more about that because this is important. So we heard about all these different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's kind of delve into them a little bit more. So first of all, you know, we talk about words of knowledge, right? What is that? That's truly a supernatural revelation of information. I talked about the lady that spoke to my wife and I, someone we had never, ever met, right? Boom, she had supernatural words of wisdom about a conversation that we just had, deep conversation, a husband and wife, where she gave us almost the exact details of what we talked about. There was also stuff that we didn't share with each other that we held back. Guess what? She told us about that too. Okay? So, just saying, I'm thinking, is she with the CIA, the FBI? She had my house bug? No, it's just God. Amen. Now we talk about faith, right? And we're not talking just a regular faith. We're talking about the faith of a child, right? We're talking about a whole nother level of faith that is driven by the Holy Spirit. And again, that's going to come, and it's going to be stronger and stronger and stronger as you have more direct reactions and interactions with God, right? Gifts of healing, we know that. Working of miracles, we know what those are. Ability to prophesy, huh? Jeremiah 33, huh? Yeah, we know that. Discerning of spirits. You know, I've met other Christians that are strong in their faith that actually have the ability that they can see like a demon on someone. You know, they can see an affliction on someone, and of course they can deal with that, right? You got to be able to see your enemy and know your enemy before you can deal with that enemy, right? Big deal. Various kinds of tongues. How many of you have received the gift of tongues in here? Oh, amen. Praise God, right? And then, of course, the interpretation of tongues, right? Because if God has a message for everybody, it's got to come out. And guess what? He's going to give somebody that gift so that they can share with the rest of, you know, the church, you know, that word that God has, because it's important. So I wanted to make sure we kind of, you know, dove into those a little bit more. Because, again, this is the true power that we as Christians, right, that we as believers have within us, because we've accepted the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I wanted to make sure we kind of, you know, dove into that a little bit more. Now let's go to the good part. I was watching, I was on a plane coming back from Philadelphia because I had to go to this training I was telling you about. And I was watching Justice League. Okay, so it's superheroes, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, all these cool things. You know, it's a 4-hour flight. I got to watch some. So I did that, right? So one of the things about Superman, who's like the biggest, baddest of all the superheroes, is he's Clark Kent normally, right? But then when he comes, he opens up the shirt. Boom, right? And who is he? He's Superman, right? Well, at the end of the day, and at the end of that movie, it came out to be that, you know, hey, you as a superhero, you shouldn't be hiding, right? You should be out there letting people know who you are and what you represent and that you're all about good so that people can have faith, so that people can see, you know, what a good life looks like. And it, you know, God, of course, completely flipped the switch on me, right? Uh-huh. So are you the Clark Kent guy, right? Are you that bold Superman that's walking around, you know, showing the Jesus in you? And I was like, oh man, again, thank you, Papa. That's who I have to be, right? And I know that was a preparation for today and really, you know, starting to continue my journey as far as, you know, teaching and preaching and ministering. So, you know, that's where I am today. So thank you, God, you know, once again for your revelation. But, you know, to be that person, obviously in heaven, you're this beautiful vase, right? You don't need armor in heaven. That's God's land, right? Nothing up there. You don't have to worry about anything up there. No tears, all happiness, amazing things. I mean, think of all these movies that we've seen, you know, that talk about these kids that have seen heaven or people that have died and seen heaven and how amazing and awesome it was. You know, a lot of them didn't want to come back. One Jewish kid said, no, I had to come back because I didn't have enough built up in heaven, you know? And so he said, I had to come back here because I had to share the word. And he was a Jewish kid that like lived in Israel. And he's like, yeah, no, I had to come let you know what the real deal is. And I have things to do down here because when I do go back up there, you know, there's going to be a lot more waiting for me based off of what happened down here. And so I'm like, amen, praise God, you know, Pastor Rich is in the right spot, you know, and God's obviously talking to his people there as well. But while you're here on earth, right, you got to have the armor of God, because what's on earth? That rogue lion that's running around looking to kill, right, to destroy, to steal, and really deceive. And so that's why it's important. And so we actually, as part of our ministry, you know, we have a whole long thing on just the armor of God, right? And I'm not going to get into all of it, but I do want to make sure we all understand how important that is, okay? So let's go ahead and talk about that. If you go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, it actually talks about the whole armor of God. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Okay, you said that, what, 2-3 times now? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, right? Wow, that's huge. That's powerful stuff right there, right? And that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be those chosen warriors of God, right? And that's taking you to the whole nother level. So what I'd like to do is kind of just talk a little bit about each piece and the function that it has, right? Again, data guy, help me understand. Helmet of salvation. Why is that important? Because it's important that in your mind, you know that you are saved because of what Jesus did for us, right? So by having that helmet of salvation, what do they say? The mind is the devil's playground. Well, if I have my helmet of salvation, that's going to protect my mind from such things, right? Breastplate of righteousness. As a warrior, right, what is that protecting? That's protecting your heart. What does your heart represent? Love, right? What's the biggest thing we have to have? Love, right? What does God say? You might have the words that could speak and move mountains, but if you don't have love, you know, you're bankrupt, basically, right? So that's why that's important. What else is important about that? Think about what happens with the heart, right? If you think about today in this crazy world, what do you have? You have crimes of passion because something happened in somebody's heart where they went out and they, like, killed somebody or, you know, they did something terrible, right? You hear about these shootings that are going on at schools and businesses and stuff. Guess what they don't have, right? They don't have that love and they don't have their righteousness. And it's not our righteousness, right? It's not what we did or what we said, but it's the righteousness of he who is in us. So yeah, let's make sure we got that straight. Right? All right. So then what's the next piece? What do we got? Gird our loins, right? With the belt of truth, right? The Lord is the truth. His word is the truth. We seek him and we know the truth, right? What is that truth? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Whoa, that was a huge one for me. You know, the belt of truth. What is that protecting? Yeah, let's make sure we're true to our loved ones. Let's make sure we're true to our wives and to our husbands, right? Shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. in the Roman days, in their armor, they just didn't have like sandals. They had like war boots with like spikes on the bottom, so that they were fighting. They had, you know, they had grip. They had, you know, they could stand firm ground, right? So that's important, because as I'm walking this Christian walk and I'm teaching the principles of peace that Jesus taught us to walk in peace, I need to be able to walk that way. But there's going to be those times where you have to stand firm for peace, and it's going to have, you know, having those shoes that are going to help you do that. Right? So that's great. That's all protection stuff, right? Now let's get to the good part, which is the part that I like and the part that I feel, you know, we're really been getting into today, which is going to be really, you know, the shield and the sword, right? What is the shield? It's the shield of faith. Again, back to that supernatural faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. When Evan was giving his talk last week, you should see that guy's shield, right? Look at this shield. That's cool looking shield lying on there. You know, everything looks good. Evan's shield, like this big, right? He could pretty much just put it down and stand behind it and not have to worry about stuff, all right? So that's the kind of shield we want, you know? I don't want this little tiny baby shield. I want a big shield, right? Because the fiery darts of the devil are coming. So what does that mean? Fiery darts can come from far away. You know, back in the day, they used archers to kill you from far away. They didn't even have to be next to you to get you, right? That's why that's so important. Put up that shield of faith, because you know who God is. You know what he did for you. You know what Jesus did for you. You know who the Holy Spirit is. You know what the word says, you know, and that's how you got to build that, build that. And the more interactions that you have with God to know that he's real, that's what's going to help you out. Here's the part that we all forget about. I can stand there with my shield all day long. And what am I doing? Boom, 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 boom. I'm just getting beat down. I'm getting beat down. Guess what? You got to be able to reach out with your sword to do battle, right? One's defensive, one's offensive. Yeah. Amen? And what is that sword? The word of God. The word of God. Why do you think it's so important that we know the word? Huh. Right? Do you want a little pocket knife? Or do you want a big, giant, flaming sword, right? You want that big, giant, flaming sword. In Revelation, it talks about, you know, when Jesus comes, you know, the angels are going to have these big, giant, flaming swords. I've seen that in a vision. You should see what that looks like. That is amazing. When I saw that, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want, right? Right? But it all has to come together. You know, you don't want to be this person with the big giant sword in the darkness kind of going like this, right? You have to have that connection with God so that he knows where to send you, right? There's always a general that sends the army, that sends that warrior to go do battle. And that's why it's important that it all comes together. Amen? All right. So, you know, obviously here, you know, we're surrounded by the devil, and it's important that, you know, we have this armor so that we can continue to proceed and do what God needs us to do. We have the Holy Spirit, which is the helper that has come down to give us these supernatural spiritual gifts so that we can walk into battle boldly. And of course, we have our armor and the sword and the word so that we can defend ourselves and, more importantly, you know, do battle, you know, for God, for our friends, for our families, and, you know, ultimately for God's people and anybody, obviously, that he puts in his path. So how do we do this, right? It all comes back to Jesus. You know, at the beginning, I kind of talked to you guys a little bit about Jesus being that prototype human being, right? So what do? Let's dig into the word, right? We talked about what would Jesus do. We need to take that a whole nother step, right? Let's say, what did Jesus do? Let's get in the word. What did he do? And on top of that, what did Jesus say, right? That was brought to me in Revelation that this is really important, right? So yeah, we need to walk like Jesus did, but if you dig in, you're going to get so much more about that. So let's go ahead. Let's dig into that. Let's start with the beginning of Jesus's ministry. All right, at the very beginning of his ministry, he basically comes down and he meets with John the Baptist. Right, in that particular scene, John the Baptist is like, "Whoa, you're Jesus. You should be baptizing me. You know, what is going on?" But Jesus, again, being the prototype, had to show us how it's done. No, I have to be baptized. So what did he do? He walked into the water and got baptized. Have all of us been baptized by water? Yeah. Yeah? Okay, beautiful. Step one, right? Now, when Jesus immediately, he comes out of the water, what happened? Holy Spirit descended upon him. They said it was like a dove that came down. The heavens opened. Behold my son. You know, you can read that in the word. Again, if you don't believe me, go look it up. Right? And so once again, we have to receive that Holy Spirit as well. How many of you have received the Holy Spirit in your life? All right. That's an amazing thing. I'm telling you right now, if you haven't, come talk to us after this sermon. You know, come talk to us after this, because there's people here that want you to have that, because it's important, because that's where your power is going to come from. Man, because God loved us so much, he's given us all this direction to make sure that we are not killed, you know, we're not destroyed, that we're not killed. And for those of you that seek that and seek him, you're going to find a love like you've never experienced before. You're going to find power that's just, you know, incomprehensible. You're going to find just so much. And more importantly, you're going to find an eternal life with God in heaven. Amen? Yeah. So let's talk about the second piece of that. Jesus went into the desert. You know, he fasted and he went into the desert for 40 days, right? And while he was out there, what happened? He was tempted by the devil, right? Now, on a side note, God kind of spoke to me about the fasting thing. From a spiritual perspective, if you seek God and his word during that fasting time, spiritually it cleanses you from, you know, different things that have come into you and allows you to just draw near to him and have a closer relationship, right? And the closer you are to God, the easier it is to hear his word. But if I'm talking like this, yeah, it's a whole nother thing. And that's really what we want, you know, from the Lord. So that was that piece. On the physical side, the reason why fasting is important, actually a few weeks ago, we actually had somebody come up and talking about, you know, what we take into our bodies, right? So from a physical side, what fasting does is it cleanses your body and it allows you to get rid of a lot of things that you might have ingested knowingly or unknowingly, right? So not only is this a good thing for you spiritually, but it's also something good for you physically. So once again, God putting something, you know, to help us out basically, right? So let's get, you know, back into, you know, Jesus and what happened with him. If you go to, let's see, Matthew 3:13-4:11, we'll kind of, you know, hear about this stuff. So basically in 3:13 through, basically till you start chapter 4, it's telling you all about that experience with John the Baptist and what happened. And so again, anytime somebody tells you something, look it up in the word, make sure it's there, right? There it is. So there's where he basically baptized by water, baptized by the Spirit. Here's the part that God really dropped some revelation on me, though, right here, which was his temptations in the desert. So let's start there at verse 4 here, or chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, once again, very important, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, let's pause here for a second. We might have some little demon or something coming after us every now and again, but right now, this is the devil himself coming after Jesus, right? So yeah, let's make sure we set the stage for what's really happening here. All right, so here comes the devil to tempt him, and he says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But what did Jesus say? Right? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is going to be like a basic temptation that God tries to hit us with, right? Or the devil tries to hit us with, I should say. Just the necessities of life, right? Food, clothing, shelter. Oh man, God's not providing for you. You know, you should turn away. No, right? Because it is written. So in this case, God is demonstrating to us, Jesus is demonstrating to us how we use our armor. So basically, the first thing is shield of faith. No, right? For it is written, swoosh, with the sword, right? Boom. So he basically cut that off right there. Next, what happens? So then the devil takes him up into the holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Oh, wow, he's using the word, huh? Guess who knows the word probably better than us, right? Right? But what does Jesus say? It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Wow, that's huge. So once again, no sword. But in this particular instance, what is it showing? It's showing another level of how the devil's going to come at us, right? False doctrine. He's going to try to use the word against you, right? So that's why you have to know and understand your word and have sought God first and then his word so that you know what that true word is. Does that make sense? Yes, beautiful, beautiful. This is the power, right? This is the power that we wield and what's coming up. Now, finally, the third temptation. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Whew, wow, right? Now, as far as I'm aware of, there's two times in the Bible where Jesus like gets mad. He gets angry. Right? And so I'm like, God, is that right? And God said, yeah, because there's such thing as called righteous anger, right? There's righteous anger. Here's one of the times, you know, where God's like, how dare you talk to me like that? Jesus says that. The other time is when he goes into the temple, right? And people are in there and, you know, he's flipping tables. He's like whipping people. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? Well, that's righteous anger. That's a godly anger. So let's make sure we understand the difference about that. But again, we come back to, well, what did Jesus say? Away with you, Satan, exclamation point. So he's hollering at Satan right now. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Whew. Amen. Well, guess what that is? Again, that's the devil using things like power, money, control. You know, a lot of the things that, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of the big time leaders, financial institutions, you know, the people that run those kind of things, you know, that's where they've basically been sucked in by the devil, right? And so it's necessary for you to understand how that works so that you too can fight against these things in your life. It's super important because you see how the devil tries to get you, but more importantly, you see how you handle it. Right? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? If you fall to that, to these types of sins, you know, that's where you're gonna, you know, that's where you're gonna fall down, right? But none of us are perfect. We might get knocked down, but we have Jesus, right? And Jesus is with us. And no matter what happens, we can't be possessed because Jesus is in us. You know, I heard a preacher the other day talking about, yeah, you know, Christian people, and you know, you gotta guard yourself because you don't want to get possessed. And I was like, whoa, you know, what does the word say? I'm like, no. Once God has you, God has you. You know, he showed me a vision one time of like this big huge stamp that he has, like the seal of approval, and it said paid in full. And it had a cross and beautiful things. And it was like bunk, you know, like right on the forehead. Paid in full. No, he's mine. So don't get it twisted, right? Once you belong to God, you belong to God. And it's just a matter of cleaning up the vase and fixing the vase and sealing it with the Holy Spirit, putting your armor back on, going back into battle. Amen? All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. My thing is, you know, I know the kind of life that I have and that I've lived with the Lord right now. And I just think, what a bummer it is, you know, for those people that haven't accepted, you know, Jesus into their lives, that don't know God. And that's why it's so important that, you know, we understand we are paid in full and that by following these processes and understanding what we need to do, that's what's going to give us the strength to go out there and get those people, to win those people, and bring them into the kingdom. The cool thing about the vision about the vases, there weren't that many broken vases over there in the corner, but there were a few, right? But that's our job, is to help God go get those broken vases, bring them back, and make sure that they don't end up, you know, swept up and in the trash, basically. One of the things I'd like to ask you is, you know, have you ever felt God's arms around you? You know, have you ever felt him like truly just hug you, you know, feel his presence in your life? You know, have you ever witnessed miracles? You know, there's so much more to live in the Christian life than a lot of us understand. And that's why it's so it's so important that we empower ourselves and equip ourselves, you know, through Jesus and through God and through his word. You know, we need God in our life. And again, if you haven't experienced that, you know, and you want more of that, you know, seek God, seek his word, you know, seek us. If you've not accepted God into your life, let's do that. If you haven't accepted the Holy Spirit into your life, you know, let's do that. Now, after this encounter, Jesus began to preach the word, right? He gave that to us, and how did he do that? He did that through interpretations and parables and miracles, you know, casting out of demons, all those things. If you look at all the miracles that Jesus performed, there was always a seeking by the individual that needed him. There was always huge faith involved, right? The faith of a child. And there was always a final word that Jesus gave, you know, go and sin no more. Go, your faith has healed you. Go and proclaim God's glory for your healing. You know, there was always kind of the beginning and the middle part and the end, right? So let's remember that when we're praying for people, when we're lifting people up, right? Boom, we prepared the vessel. We got the armor. But then let's also follow what Jesus showed us to do. You know, have that beginning, have that middle and that end. I mean, there was throngs of the crowds all around Jesus, right? Not everybody got healed. There was only certain people that got healed, and it's because they had that faith. They sought him out, and so it happened. And so that's what we have to teach people when, you know, they're asking us to pray for him is, hey, first thing first, you have to seek God out. I mean, you've taken that first step, right? You walked up here to the front and said, yeah, pray for me. Thank God for that, right? So you've already demonstrated your faith there. Dive in, dig deeper, seek God, seek God, seek God. That's all I could tell you there. Again, this armor is amazing. I propose to you, again, do you want the little pocket knife? Do you want the giant flaming sword, right? Dig into your word, dig into your word, dig into your word, right? Love, 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 right? Those are the things. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus did. What else did Jesus do? He gave all the glory and honor to God the Father, right? It's not about me. It's not me being cool. It's not me, hey, look, I healed that person and now they can see. No, God healed that person. Give him all the glory. Give him all the honor, right? He fed the poor. He healed the sick. He preached the word. He raised the dead. You know, he taught us stories and parables. He discipled others on how to share the word. He bore his cross, right? He suffered. He died and was resurrected again to fulfill the scriptures, right? Thank you, Jesus. Guess what? We have to do all those same things, but, you know, in a human type of way. You know, God sent the helper, the Holy Spirit, to bring us closer to him as that conduit so that we can share in that power and to provide, you know, like a direct communication line with God so that we can have the strength to bear our cross. What do you guys think it means when Jesus says, hey, you have to bear your cross daily? Have you thought about that? You know, to me, in God's revelation, it's we have to live in this world, right? We have to deal with all the stuff that's going on. We have to deal with sickness and death and all the craziness that happens in this world. I think that's what he meant by bearing your cross. It was, you know, holding on to that and bearing your cross while you were here on earth, just like Jesus had to do. The devil's going to try to destroy us, just like he thought that he destroyed Jesus, right, on the cross. You know, he thought he broke him down, you know, through all the things that happened to him that Evan, you know, talked about last week. But he did it. All he did was fulfill what God wanted in the first place, right? Because it's all about what God wills. We need to die to ourselves, just like Jesus did. We have to die to the flesh, just like Jesus did. And of course, we have to rise again as Christian believers to walk in a new life and let the world see Jesus through us. Let them see him in me, just like Jesus did, right? After he rose, he came and spent time. He brought the Holy Spirit. He instructed even more. And then once his work was done, he was called back up, right? To be at the right hand of the Father, right? To be in above all the principalities, above all the powers. The word says that, right? All right, so he's above all that. He's in me. I have this. We're above all that because of him. So don't ever forget that. Don't forget who you are in Christ. Don't forget the warrior that you are. Don't forget the word and what it means to you. Now, how do we do all this? We do it by faith, right? Not just regular faith, but the supernatural faith that we've been talking about today. The more encounters you have with God, the bigger your faith becomes, you know? Like we talked about, Evan's giant shield, right? This is why it's so important for praise and worship, right? Because that ushers in the Holy Spirit. That ushers in God's presence. Praise and worship is a huge part of who we are and what we have to do. Seek God and His Word, that you may know Him. And more importantly, develop that personal relationship with Him so that He can truly speak to you in your time of need, that He can truly speak to you when you're being called to go forth into ministry, to be a mission, even if it's just to pray for your friend, right? Seek God, seek God, seek God. One of the things that's also important that God did and He showed us, that Jesus did and He showed us, is the fellowship. I need to fellowship with other believers, right? Iron sharpens iron. That's a big deal in Chosen Men and God, right? Be part of something that involves other believers, because that's what's going to help keep you on point, right? You might not even know something's going on, and you might run into them really awesome prayer warriors. It's like, hey, something's on you. Get over here, right? Let's handle that. Let's handle that, right? You laugh because I know it's happened to a lot of you guys, right? It's happened to me a bunch of times. Yeah, something's on you, right? I've done that for people. I've seen things on them, you know? Hey, let's get that out of there, right? I've seen people healed from smoking. I've seen people healed from drugs, from alcoholism, you name it. I've seen it. Cancer, huh? Being blind. Yeah, I've seen it. I'm that witness, right? That's my testimony. And guess what happens when you talk to other believers? You hear their testimonies, right? Jesus was a walking, living testimony, right? That's His whole ministry, was healing the sick and doing all these things so that they had testimonies. That's what it's all about. That's part of that whole fellowship and why we need to come together. I know I have a big shield because of my encounters with God. And I'm excited about that, and I'm glad. You know, like I said, I've witnessed all these miracles in my life and others' lives as well. And it's why I'm up here today, because, again, I owe, it's off to teach I go. You know, I've been led by God to continue Jesus' work, and that's really what we're here to do. And I've said yes. I've said yes, I'm going to do that. How could I not, right? How could I not? This is what God wants for all of us. This is what God wants for you, for you, for you, everybody you know. And it's important. If you want examples of supernatural faith from direct interactions with Jesus, seek the Word, right? I was praying with one of our sisters today. Talked about the strength of the centurion, right, in his faith. He basically just sent people, Jesus, I have a servant that's sick. Oh, okay, you want me to go to the house? Oh, no, I know who you are. You just give the word. You just tell me he's healed. And I know I'm going to walk away happy because I know he's healed. Jesus said, because of your faith, that person's healed. Woohoo! They jumped up and down and ran home because they knew they were going to go home to their friend that wasn't, you know, that wasn't sick anymore, that was healed. The woman that touched the hem of Jesus's garment, right? Here's Jesus in this giant crowd. You know, everybody's reaching out. Jesus, Jesus. You know, one lady touches the hem of his garment. Boom, stops him in his track. I felt the power leave me, right? That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about, where, man, you just barely touch somebody and, poof, you know, stuff happens. What about the man that his friends brought him, you know, and can't get in the house because there's too many people? What do? They climb on the roof, rip the roof apart, drop their friend down through the roof. God, we know, you know? Wow, could you imagine that? That's what I'm talking about. That's seeking God right there, right? I'm like ripping roofs apart and stuff to try to get in there. So that's really what we got to do as a people, right? And as God's people. So what I'm saying to you is build your shield, right? Go out there, build your shield, know your word, use your sword, you know? Take care of the vessel, put on the armor. Do the things that Jesus said and Jesus did, because that's what's really going to take you to that next level of Christianity that God wants us to be in, that Jesus wanted us to be in, that Pastor Rich was, you know, accomplishing here in this place. So in closing, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The Word tells us that. Love yourself, for you are His child and you are wonderfully and beautifully made. The Word tells us that. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself, for these are God's commandments. The Word tells us that. And every morning when you wake up, give God praise for the gift of life and all the blessings that he's given you. Prepare your vessel every day by asking for forgiveness and, more importantly, forgiving those that have sinned against you. Ask God to be filled with his living water, with his gifts, with his miracles, and anything else that he wants to pour into you so that you can pour that out into others, and seal that with the Holy Spirit. Put on your armor and know what each piece means to you. Take up your shield and your sword and be prepared to use it. Know, for it is written. Study your word and know what Jesus did and said and follow in his footsteps. I would like to challenge all of you here today to try these things. And I guarantee you, you will get closer to God. You will receive more revelation. You will have more power in your Christian lives. You will receive visions. All those amazing things, you know, interpretations, casting out demons, healing the sick. Blessed beyond belief. That's what I'm talking about, right? Blessed beyond belief. I call it the triple B. Blessed beyond belief. That's what I want, right? That's what I want. You guys want that? Yeah. Yeah, let's go get that. Let's go get that. So let's end in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for being you. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for sending the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us in our walk. Give us the fire inside to seek you, Lord, and to know your word. Open our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and our souls to you that we may hear you as you speak and guide us. Fill us with the unconditional love that you have for us, that we may share that love with others as we proclaim the good news. Instill in us the drive to perform any task that you ask of us. Lift up our brothers and sisters struggling in any way, and pray for those that have not had the opportunity to know you. We pray for the leaders of our church, of our country, and ask for your intervention in the craziness that's going on in the world today. And like Jesus said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Papa, for hearing our prayers. We love you. Amen.